This is Vince Carter, a North Carolina Tar Heel for life. You're listening to the Sports Sound Off with JT. You don't know about it, learn about it.
The Sports Sound Off Show with JT. Your team, your voice, your show. Sound off. All right, back inside the Sports Sign-Off Show, JT signing off on a Sunday morning. Hope you're enjoying the weekend out there. Great college Saturday, as it was rivalry Saturday in college football, and a couple of big stories stand out to me. And I want to start with the big story amongst the college football playoff right now. And there was a shuffling of the deck thanks to the Ole Miss-Mississippi State rivalry. I was kind of down on it, big on it throughout the season. I was looking forward to these two teams meeting on top of the polls, and well, it didn't work out. However, it still meant something. And KB, while you weren't excited about it, I asked you a week ago if you were still excited about it, and well, you weren't. It was your Rebels who got to put another wrinkle in the college football playoff, and that is because the Ole Miss defeated Mississippi State, thus giving Alabama a free pass. Regardless of what they did against Auburn, and we'll get to that momentarily here on the show. A free pass to the SEC Championship game, oh, by the way, this Saturday in Atlanta. So with Bama moving on no matter what, thanks to Ole Miss, oh, by the way, go ahead and get that Christmas card ready, KB. Send that one out. Or maybe it's the other way around. Bama fans should give the Christmas card. No. I guess they don't really have to. They took care of business. So you have Bama moving on after throttling Auburn in the second half. Absolutely destroyed it. And look, it was a good ball game. Really good ball game. Highest scoring Iron Bowl ever. But the football that I saw on the field in the second half by the Alabama Crimson Tide, my conclusion is I totally get why many of you proclaim them to be the best team in the country. I totally get it. I disagree. But I totally get the argument. Because as bad as Alabama was in that first half, they were completely opposite in the second half. I mean, they just flipped the switch. And suddenly the script that was handed out there at halftime to the Auburn Tigers, they were just like, wait a minute, this wasn't in the script. This wasn't supposed to happen like this. No, we were dominating the entire first half. Alabama's defense, we owned them. And then suddenly, and you could see the fire in Nick Saban's eyes when I love watching or hearing Nick Saban talk. I love watching it too, because the body expressions and the facial expressions and everything is just priceless. And he was just ready to light up his defense to the ESPN reporter. Absolutely ready to lit him up. And I get it. So, you know, you ever want to be a fly on the wall in a certain room? I don't know, wherever that may be for you. It'd be cool to be a fly on the wall in the White House. It'd be good to hear some of those conversations going on, or lack thereof. It'd be cool to be a fly on the wall in like a Super Bowl locker room. Anything come to your mind, KB? Wouldn't it be cool to be a fly on the wall in when LeBron James is making his second decision? That would have been cool. Have access to how that decision went down. Well, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in the Alabama locker room. I can't imagine what that was like. Nick Saban just tearing into his defense. I mean, look, offensively, Sims, the quarterback, wasn't like overwhelmingly wowing anybody. But at halftime, it looked like he was defending the kid. Well, he had one overthrow there, and you know, he's doing his best. He's resilient, and I'm impressed with him. How do you feel about your defense, coach? I'll tell you what, defense can't do anything all game. This is ridiculous. It can't stop anybody. Boy, tell us how you really feel. So all of a sudden, Bama comes back out, and from the third quarter after Auburn took that first touchdown, five unanswered TDs. And a lot of that was because the defense set the tempo. But five unanswered touchdowns all of a sudden has me a believer. And I understand why suddenly, or why they, I should say, why they have been considered the number one team in the country for the past several weeks. I get it. I just still think that the undefeated Florida State Seminoles, oh, by the way, defending national champions, those are the kids that are deserving to be ranked number one in the country. So we can have that argument here, obviously, again, and it's going to be obviously sorted out next week. But the argument that I want to have here is the one going down now, who should have the fourth seed? Because we can all agree that Bama, Oregon, and Florida State are in. Rank them how you want to rank them now. Tweet me at JT Sounds Off. But who's your fourth team? That's what I want to know. Who was your fourth team last week and the week before, and who is it going into this week? The week ahead. Has it changed? And I've heard a few analysts out there yesterday where they were changing their path, changing their script for the Final Four. And I don't understand. Ohio State's quarterback, JT Barrett, out for the season with a fractured ankle. And because of that, some analysts are considering punishing Ohio State. Yeah, punishing them. Because their quarterback went down. I can't understand this. This is ludicrous to me. You're going to punish a team because they lost their quarterback. Why? If you had Ohio State in the Final Four before JT Barrett goes down, then why all of a sudden are you considering leaving them out? Because they lost their quarterback? I'm sorry. That doesn't work for me. Have we not learned our lesson here? And I'm guilty of it. Look, I wrote off the Buckeyes. In my preseason, not so Final Four, I removed the Buckeyes because they lost Braxton Miller, quarterback. So now JT Barrett, the freshman, who's played outstanding, I get it, he's played outstanding, maybe arguably the best quarterback in the country. Absolutely the best freshman in the country, but maybe even the best quarterback. Better than Mariota? Sure, I'll hear the argument. That's not crazy. But what is crazy is the fact that you guys want to leave out the Ohio State Buckeyes. I heard so many arguments for the Buckeyes, right? So many arguments why they should be in or why they're on the edge. And now I'm hearing people saying, well, let's just see how they do with the third quarterback. Let's see how they perform next week against Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game with this guy. And then we'll consider it. We'll consider it. Consider it. Consider this. You are punishing a team out because they had a player injured. And that, to me, you can't do that. You cannot do that. I'm not even sure how that even makes sense to anybody who can go on TV or go on the radio and say, yeah, we got to punish the Buckeyes. Let's just see how they do against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. And then if they perform, well, we'll consider inviting them back to the party. I'm sorry, guys. If you had the invitation out there for the Buckeyes, you thought that their resume was good enough to get to the big dance. Don't punish them because they lost their quarterback. What are you doing here? Are you afraid to get on the edge there? Afraid to get close to the edge? I can't understand. I can't make sense of it. We talked about it in the pre-show meeting, and I've yet to even make sense of that argument, KB. I can't.
Well, like you said, they don't want to put Ohio State in. Then they get blown out and makes them look bad.
Yeah, that's basically what they're with this whole college football playoff thing right now. It's a sham to me. I don't understand it. Because right now, I'm about to say something really crazy. I want the computers back. If this is what you're going to do, you're going to tell me that you are punishing Ohio State and keeping them out of the playoff because you want to, A, wait to see what their third string essentially does next week. That, to me, is ludicrous. Just, you might as well just give us the computers back. You know, they just compute a bunch of numbers, and then they spit them back out at us, and they're like, all right, there's your championship game. Well, that's a lot better than what I got now, because right now, I'm looking at it, and you're basing the rankings off of ratings. You're giving me must-see TV. You're afraid that the Buckeyes are going to get blown out in the playoff, and we can't have that. Not in the inaugural college football playoff. No! We can't. Why not? Why not? Who says we can't? Who?
It's crazy. One week, one injury, and we were totally, it totally changed everything. Last week, you and me were like, computers. This week, it's like, can we have them back?
Yeah, because I'm...
The computer won't be scared to put Ohio State in there.
Yeah, the computer's not biased. Computers don't know that the quarterback went down. So here we are with our first, possibly... I mean, can you imagine the outrage? Let's say TCU and Ohio State. After next week, both of them have the same record. How are you going to tell me that Ohio State should jump TCU? How is that even possible? Where's the argument? So maybe they can't, maybe the Buckeyes can't jump TCU. However, if you didn't punish them for losing their quarterback, they wouldn't have to worry about that. Look, I'm not a Buckeye fan by any stretch of the imagination. No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not thumping my chest here on the radio because, oh, I love the Buckeyes. Quite the opposite. Don't really care for them. But what I care for is to have some sort of sensible discussion about the conference playoff that I just don't see anywhere on the table. I mean, this has become something that...
Well, it's a little crazy.
I mean, we might as well be just sitting out of the bar, slamming drinks, and picking the Final Four. There you go. Oh, liking the purple today. Ooh, good color. That looks good on you, Jim. Great, let's take the Horned Frogs. Why not?
The committee is supposed to compensate you if your player is injured for a game or suspended. Because remember, Jameis Winston was he suspended for the whole game or a half? He was out the whole game, right?
Half game.
Well, they were supposed to...
No, wait, maybe it was the whole game against Clemson.
Yeah, I think it was the whole game.
Yeah.
And if they lost, the committee is supposed to take in consideration that they didn't have Jameis Winston for that game. So why would you flip it on the other end and penalize somebody for losing a quarterback?
Believe me, KB, I'm trying to make sense of it all morning. trying to make sense of it.
We've been going crazy in here on this one.
And somebody wants to call into this very program today and tell me, or jump on Twitter, Facebook, I don't care. You have a voice, use it.
Hey, the guy who, the third string quarterback that's going to be playing now is named Cardale Jones. And he is 6'5", 250 pounds. And he was 24-3 as a starter in high school.
Good information. But no, he can't do it. Absolutely not.
He's not qualified.
How do we know that? Who knows that? Nobody. But yet, you know, you can't have the Buckeyes now all of a sudden. It just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't look good. No, you can't wear that outfit to the party. No, I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. Bouncer says you got to get out. Follow the dress code. I have a starting quarterback who's played a minimum of X amount of games, and then we'll consider putting you in. All right, I got an in-the-nose stat from that Michigan-Ohio State game, at least from the outcome of it, resulted in a big, intriguing stat that many of you may have not known. But first, 10 seconds for Quality Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning.
Quality Comfort Heating and Air, every neighborhood and every backyard. Call us today, 704-821-6920.
All right, you're in the notes, Dan, for your Monday morning water cooler talk. Michigan. Yeah, Buckeyes defeated rival Michigan. And as a result, Michigan will not be playing in a bowl game for just the third time since 1975. Wow. Since 1975, just the third time. That's shocking. Shocking. So there's your in-the-know stat for your Monday morning water cooler talk. Bring that to work, and don't forget to stay tuned to the Sports Sign-Off on Facebook as we deliver a daily in-the-know stat right there for you so you can walk around the office a little bit wiser. Take your coworkers to work, to task on some knowledge, right? Who doesn't like to do that? We'll try to spread some of that on the Sports Sign-Off. Again, go to the Sports Sign-Off page on Facebook. Like us today and get dialed into the In the Know stat. All right, quick timeout here on the program. Coming up on the other side, something fishy is going down in Clemson. And now I'm not even talking about the end result of yesterday's clash with South Carolina. No. Something fishy is going down, and I got to get to the bottom of it. We'll attempt to do so. JT sounding off ESPN 730. This is the Sports Sound Off Show. Hang tight. The Sports Sound Off Show with JT. Your team, your voice, your show. Sound off.
Surround me like a waterfall, and there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
All right, it was a rivalry Saturday in the college football world as many of the big rivalries went down this weekend. Impressive games across the board. There were a few shutouts that had me scratching my head, many of you there as well. Sports Sign-Off Show back on ESPN 730 here, JT signing off. But one game stood out to me for a different reason other than the game itself, and I'm talking about South Carolina-Clemson. I wasn't really concerned about the outcome in that one. I know there was a lot at stake with South Carolina-Clemson. Obviously, it's a big rivalry locally. One of the biggest ones, that next to NC State and North Carolina, which Wolfpack just absolutely destroyed the Tar Heels. And so the Fire Larry Fedora chants resume after the Tar Heels' big win a week ago over Duke, and they just absolutely had no business, no place in that ball game yesterday. So big local rivalries. And South Carolina Clemson is the same way. So much hatred between the two teams. And Clemson finally stopped the countdown on its losing streak to South Carolina. And now they get to look forward to, well, a bowl game and what the postseason brings for them. But did you hear this from that ball game? Dabo Swinney, head coach for the Clemson Tigers, says to reporters that his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, played the entire game yesterday on a torn ACL. That's right. Swinney said that his star first-year signal caller had actually torn it in practice last week. And yet he played the entire game with a torn ACL. Now, I don't know which side of the fence you guys are on this argument. I mean, many of us probably want to, the first reaction is either, wow, that kid's got it. How do you play an entire game with a torn ACL? Kudos to him. What a warrior. Way to get out there and leave it on the field. It's a rivalry game. How could you miss that? Clemson, South Carolina. That's impressive. That's taking rivalry to a whole new level. And that's, you know, that's interesting if you're on that side of the argument, because the side that I'm on is, what in the world were the Clemson Tigers thinking? Dabo Swinney should be ashamed of himself. You're going to leave that young man out there with a torn ACL to play a football game? He's got an entire career to look ahead to. Entire career. Crazy. And you're worried about beating South Carolina. Ending the streak. Oh, we cannot lose. We cannot lose to the Gamecocks. Look, I get rivalries. I understand what's at stake. But that should not mean that we're going to jeopardize the health of a player. something as significant as a torn ACL. I mean, come on. Emmett Smith on Twitter responding to the news that came out of Clemson, and he is fired up. Love this line from Emmett on Twitter. He's an amateur. He's not a professional football player. And even if he was, it's an ACL, guys. So, you know, you look at this story, and you have to wonder, how in the world did this kid get clearance? Doesn't it come down to the doctors on the university staff? You know, last week on the show, I kind of went into, wow, the college football world, very interesting, just from what we know on the surface. But can you imagine if we had a tell-all book on everything that goes down behind the scenes? Can you imagine the juicy information that we would get? I mean, this would be like ratings through the roof. You want to blow the ratings off of a network. Just get somebody to come out and do a tell-all. And this is just another example of it. We have a quarterback with a torn ACL playing in a game. Why? Why? Because we got to beat South Carolina. We're Clemson, and we got to beat South Carolina. So everything is off limits. There is nothing that's going to hold us back.
Shows you what they think of Cole Stout.
No, I didn't even think of that, KB. I don't care what they think about their backup quarterback. I don't care. I care about this, Mr. Watson. That's who I care about, this young man. He's putting his career in jeopardy. And look, every player, I got to believe every player is going to tell you they want to be back in the football field. But it's your responsibility. Your responsibility to step in there and say, look, Deshaun, I get it. I understand you want to play in this, football game. I want you to play too. However, I have ethics. I have morals to live by. And I'm not putting you out there. You know, I'm not talking about some common cold. Maybe he's got the flu. No. Sore throat. No. Torn ACL, guys. And here we are, putting football above everything. Because that's what matters, right? That's where the dollars come in. We beat South Carolina, and Dabo Swinney saves his job. Or the Clemson Tigers get a few more 5-star recruits or 4-star recruits. That's all that matters. We got to hit the recruiting trail. We got to tell these high school kids that we just took down South Carolina. We got to rule the state. And this is what makes me sick about college sports. Right here. This is the glaring example as to why this sport absolutely drives me crazy. Sure, I'm fired up about the college football playoff and how the committee just doesn't seem to get it right. But this is beyond that. This is an entirely different conversation. We're talking about a young man's health in jeopardy because you want to win a football game? Absolutely ludicrous.
He also has a broken hand and a sprained LCL.
Let's go to the Sound Off Hotline. 704-332-0173. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning, JT. This was Ned up in Lincoln County.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great, thanks. To visit your point earlier, I was had an opportunity to go to the Hornets game against Golden State, and I appreciated the comeback that the Hornets made to take a big lead, but they never seemed like they were a team that was like pals and stuff, and then, of course, they wound up losing that game. But to visit this current point you're on, you know, even if you pull that stunt, why would you social media about it? Go ahead and hide it. And that just – I've just had a real bad taste in my mouth about for some time now about the for-profit business of government colleges, even the private colleges, and all these people, you know, in the schools talk about how smart they are, and they have this degree and that degree, and they have postgraduate work. That just means they've accumulated a ton of debt. That doesn't mean they've ever gone and done anything. It just, especially the ones that work in the schools, some of the people that work in these schools, it's the only job they've ever had. It's the only culture they ever have. They don't know anything about, like, real life because people don't get laid off at the college. Professors and coaches and stuff may get fired, but some of these coaches make so much money, or they're given so much money, And if they get let go, so what? They got money to last for a long time if their investment guy's worth a toot.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, JT, why would you go out and snark about it? Why would you brag about it? You've done something very selfish there.
Yeah, I don't care if he brags about it or if he doesn't. I mean, look, you bring up a good point about the university, and if one of the coaches gets fired, what do? They bounce back on their feet, right? Well, what happens to this young man? What happens
to
Deshaun Watson if he can't play another down of football for the rest of his life?
That's his dream to play football.
He's worked his
money to go out and buy that wonderful insurance policy that some of the special athletes do, and that's great. I'm glad they can buy those insurance policies that they can, you know, set themselves off with a big jump start if they did get hurt. But if you're a child that has an opportunity to jump into this fabulous world of professional sports, and you may make enough money in a few years to invest it correctly so that you have options and choices for the rest of your life, and perhaps even for you and your family. How selfish is that? No matter what school it is, I'm not beating Clemson up here because, like you said a few minutes ago, everybody's doing this. It's just who gets caught and when do you get caught. But anyway, I don't mean to go on and on. You know how I am, JT. He's got to cut me off, babe.
All right, my man. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Have a good weekend. All right, Ned. Good phone call. You made some good points there. JT sounding off ESPN 730, ESPN730.com. I'm going to get back to the sound off hotline here momentarily. 704-332-0173, the number to sound off live on the air. Give me a call back. Lost you on the line there. Sorry to disconnect there. Love to hear your point as you want to sound off here on the show. Yeah, and I was on Twitter trying to read some of the reaction to this story, and I found a good one here via a doctor who on Twitter, trying to kind of clear the air here in the severity of the injury that Watson had suffered. And I'll see if I can pull it up. But here's my point. What happens when Deshaun Watson can't play football anymore? What's the university going to do for him? What are you guys going to do for Watson then?
His dream is to play football, though, and he got to play football on Saturday.
KB, you're missing the point.
Nobody's putting a gun to his head and telling him to go out there on the field. He wants to play hurt.
No, but it's your job to protect him. That's the point. It is your job. And what I mean by your job, their job. The university, the team doctors, the school doctors, the coaching staff. And so for me, when you mix how bad do you want to beat South Carolina mixed with an injury that a young man is suffering, a severe injury, and you put those together, that's not a good potion. That's not good. That's not going to look good. And it's not good. So I don't know why people are trying to, for those of you on the other side of it, how can you make the argument that, well, you know, it was his choice, that's what he wants to do. I get it, that's his choice.
And he's going to have to miss some significant time. And if he's not going to do further damage, or if he can play, let him play. The question is how much more damage is he doing?
Oh, I got to imagine that he can do a bunch of damage. How could he not?
Because the ligament's torn, but you also go back to the RG3 injury.
What about the MCL? And you get to the ACL, then you got to go to the MCL.
Is that those other ligaments are what's in danger?
I'm trying to find the tweet here from the doctor on Twitter who made an excellent point about the other injuries, that there are other injuries out there. If I can find it, I'll bring it to the show. But the point is, there are other injuries out there that can occur from a torn ACL. Protect the kid, please. I mean, I got to imagine this is going to be a big story, even on national radio, let alone local sports talk radio. Got to imagine. I mean, Sunday morning here, that's the great thing about having the show on Sunday morning is we get an opportunity here to kind of touch on some things that, you know, that we just see right off of a Saturday.
Well, what about this, JT? What if he injures, he's got the torn ACL. Now, his dream is to play football. He's going to have to get that ACL fixed. What if he never came back the same player from the surgery? What if he never got to play another game? What if it didn't matter?
Well, what if he plays and he tears something else and he can never play football again.
Yep.
Ever. What then, KB? What? We'll go out of the sign-off hotline here. Caller, good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Brandon Beck. I'm calling from Columbus, Mississippi.
Brandon, what you got for me?
I think your point about this Clemson quarterback is so well taken, and it makes me think right off the crack of the bat, makes me think of that terrible scene in Washington a couple of years ago with Griffin, with Coach Shanahan, either letting Griffin play or Griffith play or making him play, either one. But you see what has happened to his career since then. He's never been right since that terrible ending. I think it was against the 49ers that year in the playoff game.
Fantastic point. Totally forgot about that. How do we forget about that? Yeah, it's exactly what we have here. We have another scenario where you're not protecting the kid's future. All you care about is the program, and the program in this situation being Clemson. That's it.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on what you said. I think it's a very good point, and a little perspective goes a long way. We could use a little perspective.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the phone call. Have a great weekend. All right, so somebody's right on with me from Mississippi. Appreciate the phone call. Appreciate you listening to the program. Yeah, I'm just fired up about this. This, to me, I just don't get it. And I understand what's at stake for these universities. I get it. So much money. I understand it. And I understand what's at stake in terms of recruiting. And I'm up to speed on the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry. I get that as well.
And I'm with you too, JT. You're making a great point. I just think it should be Watson's decision. If it's his decision, if it was his decision to play, then it was his decision. I know you think that it's the coaching staff's job to protect the kid, but he's not a kid. He's over 18.
He's a kid, KB. He's a kid. When you go to when you play college football, you're a kid. You're a young man. Okay, you're a young man. And you look, you're not protected in college football like you are in the National Football League. You're not guaranteed a contract. You're not guaranteed to get to the next level. You're not guaranteed to walk up on that stage and shake Roger Goodell's hand. I'm sorry, you're not. You bust your tail off, you earn a scholarship, and you play football. After that, I mean, what is there? For many of these kids, there's nothing. Okay, they're going to go to school, they're going to get the education, then they go back, then they go to the, if you want to call it the real world, where we all live, right? But they have the mentality to never quit. From Pop Warner football to high school football to college to the pro, never quit. Play through injuries. The good ones play through the injuries. I get it. Emmitt Smith played through a severe injury. It was his shoulder. Remember that one? Remember that one? I think it was against your Giants, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he had 200 yards.
So play through a separated shoulder, but Emmitt Smith was a pro then. And so you can't compare those two situations, because I understand why a player might want to play through the pain and maybe even play through some severe injuries when they're in the NFL, because there is no promise for the next day. You know, there's another guy in line waiting to take your job. Or you want to impress your teammates and the coaching staff. You want to let them know that you got their back. So I get that. But that's why, to me, this is not comparable. This is a student athlete who has the mindset that he has to do whatever it takes to play in this ballgame and to help Clemson beat South Carolina. But that should not be the mindset of Dabo Swinney. Absolutely not. And the fact of the matter that it is the mindset is absolutely an outrage.
This is Ricky Behrens, Olympic gold medal winner, and you're listening to the Sports Sound Off.
Covering it all, from the players who play the games to the stories that surround them, you're listening to JT Sounding Off on ESPN Radio 730 Charlotte and the ESPN Radio app. All right, back inside the Sports Sign Off Show, final segment of this very program. I appreciate the phone calls. Wish we had more time to get to more, as this Clemson topic has just taken over the show. You can tweet me at JT Sounds Off or post on the Sports Sound Off Facebook page. Love to hear from you, even when I'm off the air, anytime throughout the week. All right, I've got the tweet here. Clyde Watkins, physician in Atlanta, posted on this topic. And if you're just joining the show, we're talking about Watson, the quarterback for the Clemson Tigers, playing against South Carolina yesterday with on a torn ACL. And so Clyde Watkins chiming in on the conversation on Twitter, saying he can tear his PCL, MCL, and meniscus. Can't do more damage to the ACL, but can further damage the knee. And he did want to make it clear that he is a doctor, by the way. So you can do further damage to the knee. Absolutely can be done. But no, it doesn't matter. In this situation, it doesn't matter. Why? We're playing South Carolina. If we're playing McNeese State, then great. Sit the kid. Let's rest him up. Let's have him ready for the rest of the season. We got a long season ahead. We got a few big battles on the schedule. ACC looking good this year. Coming off a good college football season, the recruits are just flying in, and we got to keep the momentum going.
And that's literally what that Clemson has been doing all season. Watson's played in the big games and rested in the small games.
South Carolina, on the other hand, yeah, big game. And that's why this story is absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I can't.
Why? I'm with Ned. Why would you disclose the injury to begin with?
No, you should disclose the injury. Don't hide it. That makes it even worse. You have to disclose the injury. But that's not even the argument that I want to get into. But what do you want? How does that make that? Does it make it better? Does that make it better for you? Now that you know the truth. I'm sorry that the truth hurts. I saw this story and the truth hurt me too. But that didn't prevent me from coming on the radio or make me change my mind, alter my decision to come on here and voice my opinion about it. Yeah, the truth hurts. It stinks. Live with it. And that's what we have to do here. We got to live with it. Six-pack of picks not going to happen today because this story is just, yeah, it's too good. An absolute outrage. Six-pack of picks, I'll post them on the Sports Center Facebook page.
I think this story might get really big.
Well, it's college football at its finest. This is it. This is college football at its finest. I got to get to my bang bang of the week.
You ready, JT?
Bang bang
bang
bang bang bang bang bang bang
bang bang bang bang bang bang bang bang bang. All right, bang bang of the week this week goes to Hollywood actor Mickey Rourke. No, I'm not congratulating on Mickey Rourke on his performance from the movie The Wrestler in 2009. Now, we're in 2014 here. No, not that. Mickey Rourke picked up his boxing career on Friday night in Moscow. But here's the crazy thing. Mickey Rourke is 62, and he won a match against a 29-year-old. So I say bang, bang to Mickey Rourke. Thanks for tuning into the Sports Sound Off Show, guys. Have a fantastic week out there. For KB, I'm JT. Yassus!
Woo!
The Sports Sound Off Show with JT. Your team, your voice, your show. Sound off.